Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, send it over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, as you know by now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. But there is other content added throughout the week, so make sure you swing on over there, check that out, see what's going on. Of course, while you're at SportsTimeRadio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan is the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. I noticed the Bulls are playing Cleveland Cavaliers tonight, and it is a TNT game. So give me your over/under on how many times the Bulls TNT streak is mentioned.
Oh, I thought you were going to give me a number to go under.
So, no, I don't have a number. I assume it'll be something ridiculously huge, but I mean, let's say 20.
Under.
But you think so? I figured it would be one of those things that came up, and now, you know, add in pregame with, you know, Shaq and Chuck and all those guys. You still got it under 20?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, you figure it's going to be a... Yeah, I meant to. I just, it kind of slipped my mind. I was trying to come up with a number because I didn't have a number originally. So, you know, it's just, yeah, one of those fun things that I'm sure we're going to get to... Well, if you watch it, I won't be watching the pregame because I could care less. And to be fair, the game is kind of blah anyway, so we'll see how it goes. But, I'm excited to see how many times they get that out. I hope somebody keeps track of posting on Twitter or something. So...
I wonder if that's a prop bet on my bookie.
Yeah, it is. That is interesting. I wonder, it wouldn't surprise me if it is. Real quick, there's five games on the NBA schedule tonight. You got the Brooklyn Nets, the Detroit Pistons. I wonder who's going to that game. You mentioned the Cavaliers are at the Bulls, so it's a good home game for the Bulls on TNT. So now we're mentioning the streak multiple times. The Los Angeles Lakers are at the Minnesota Timberwolves. The L.A. Clippers are at the Phoenix Suns, and the Houston Rockets are at the Portland Trail Blazers. So there's your NBA schedule. Now, Dan, I got to regress into this thing here. You know, I've always thought Kevin Durant was a pretty decent guy, and he's always came off well-spoken. But he may have had the stupidest comment of the NBA season today. I don't know if it was an article or an interview or something he was doing. And let me see if I can find the quote. Here you go. He's talking about fans being upset when a player rests. He says, the truth about it is it's only for a couple of players in the league. They don't care if the 13th man on the bench rests. It's only for, like, LeBron, Steph, Harden, Russell. It's only five players. So you want to rule for just those five players? Okay, now, he couldn't be a bigger moron here, because the fans aren't buying a ticket to the game to see that 13th player. Unless they're his family, they're not invested in this guy. They don't even expect this guy to play. They're there to see LeBron and Steph and Harden and Russell. Those are the guys they want to see play. Is this guy, is he just out of touch, Dan, or does he really think he's brilliant here?
I think he's out of touch, but I also think he thinks he's brilliant in that comment.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's just he should have shut his mouth. I mean, he's got no, you know, a guy making millions of dollars a year has no issue commenting on this when, you know, people are spending, you know, their paycheck to come out and watch him play basketball. If that. So, you know, I mean, on most teams, I mean, even the bad teams, that 13th guy doesn't even play. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, I'm like, what are you talking about here, idiot? I just couldn't figure this out. And now, you know, I genuinely like Kevin Durant. I think he's a pretty good player. I know he had that one blow up with the media there last year when he was still in Oklahoma City, but this is just incredibly stupid on his part. And what I'm really kind of starting to wonder, Dan, is are these big time superstars? And I mean, at this point in time, I mean, these guys just make ridiculous amounts of money. Are they out of touch with, you know, schmucks like me not being able to being able to afford to go to a game?
Oh yeah, big time.
You know, yeah, it's just I'm baffled when I hear, you know, this kind of talk. I mean, sadly, it's more than just this little group that he put together as well. As you know, here locally, the Bulls have arrested both Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler in games. You know, I'm sure if the Knicks are kind of resting Carmelo now because they just cut his minutes. That's something else I'll have to ask you about when we get some time. But, you know, I think just about every team has either talked about doing this or has done this or, you know, oddly, I noticed he did leave out the Spurs, who were kind of the inventors of this and still do this today. Do you think that was intentional on his part?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of like playing towards the marketing of the NBA. Because they always seem to leave out the Spurs.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, what's really odd is he mentioned four guys, but then he went on to say it's only like five players. So I'm assuming he's counting himself as the fifth one, you know, because he mentions, you know, again, he goes with LeBron, Steph, Harden, and Russell, meaning Russell Westbrook. So that's four. And then, as you know, he follows that up with, it's only for like five players. So who's five, Kevin? Were you implying you were number five? Is that's what we're supposed to take out of that, I guess? But
I mean, I don't have an issue with the quote of resting, but I think you could do that by limiting minutes in a game as opposed to just flat out sitting a guy.
Yeah, you and I have kind of been back and forth on this a whole bunch, probably more than anybody else. I mean, neither of us understand why, you know, these guys are out there in a blowout. You know, what do you need? You know, why do these guys need to be playing when you're up 25 points in the fourth quarter? You know, there's your rest. You know, I mean, you should, if, you know, you've been in the league for a while, or if you've been a head coach for a while, you know, Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, these guys who've been around, you should know how to manage your players' minutes. You know, I mean, I don't quite understand the idea behind it. And I mean, it's not a, incredibly physical game. I mean, obviously there's a lot of stress running up and down the court, but you know, it's not like a hockey game where you got a guy slamming into you every couple of minutes, or even a football game where every play there's contact. You know, I mean, some of the bigger guys have to go through contact, but there's, you know, there's plenty of plays where these superstars aren't touched for, you know, multiple minutes, if not an entire quarter, that, you know, there's no real physical contact that should damage you. So I'm baffled when they start talking about rest. And, you know, I know, you know, Mark Cuban's big thing is rallying against the NFL and how the NFL is going to come crashing down. You know, how long, Dan, until we see the NBA, you know, alienate its fans with all this BS?
I think a big part of it is the game will change once LeBron's gone.
Get worse?
Yeah. No, I think it'll improve. I'm kind of tired of him. I'm not tired of his play or anything, but, you know, the mouths and, you know, and the way he does things, it just kind of gets old.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, there's no doubt he's going to go down as one of the greatest players of all time. But, man, he's also got to go down as one of the biggest crybabies to ever play the game. It seems like he's got a complaint about everything.
No, even when it goes back to the Phil Jackson thing, I mean, I think he's, number one, he's taken way too personally. Over me, you know, I would have just flat out said, you're an old man, and no offense, I love Carmelo, but your team sucks since you've been there.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, that incident had a little more with LeBron wanting Phil on his bad side because he is friends with Carmelo than the whole use of the word posse? Because let's face it, there was absolutely no racial overtones in what Phil Jackson said.
No. I mean, no, I did. What about Mario Van Peebles in the movie he directed called Posse?
I'm still disappointed. I tweeted LeBron the meaning of the word posse and he never got back to me, so the heck with him.
You know, and even, you know, like, I forget who it was that said it, that, you know, his God complex where, you know, the whole rest issue came up, and, you know, it seems to take legs when my name's involved. And, I mean, even if, you know, you said Kevin Durant, where have you been for 2 weeks? You know, if you were going to say something.
Yeah, it's Kevin. Yeah, is Kevin Durant not getting enough rest now while he's out injured? So,
you know,
you would think if
you've got the opportunity to interview Kevin Durant, I mean, that's one of your questions you're going to ask.
Well, you know, you do wonder if maybe Durant just brought it up on his own. You know, maybe he just, yeah, maybe that was his own agenda. So,
and, you know, and I hate to make the comparison because it's, you know, apples and oranges, but when I was highly involved and loved WWE more than the rest of, you know, the five major sports, I watched guys jump off 20-foot ladders through a table into a wrestling ring with, what is it, 1 inch thick of padding, Big Jack, and then 2x6s underneath.
Yeah.
On Sunday night. And then I watched them again live Monday night, maybe not do the same exact thing, but still go out there performing. And then I would watch the, you know, pre-taped show that was on, you know, Thursday or Friday, but was filmed on Tuesday. And then if you followed their schedule, they only really had off on Wednesday. And then they were, again, on the road, you know, performing in events that were not televised Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then that Sunday again. So,
yeah.
I don't know where the rest is needed in trouble.
Yeah, well, you know, and I mean, you know, you think about the travel schedule that they have compared to an NBA player, because, you know, there are no days off. You have to get from point A on Monday night to point B where your house show is, you know, or maybe now with the new TV schedule, Tuesday's a day off for those guys. But, yeah, you know, I mean, every weekend when, you know, they're not doing their pay-per-views or whatever, you know, there's, you know, they're working Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night in some town somewhere with no TV cameras. And you have to get here. And that brings me to Durant's next quote, Dan. I just love this one. He says, players, if anything, need a mental break sometimes. And I'm sorry, they're human. They go through so much every single day. There are so many obligations off the court that you don't know about. It might not be a physical break. It might just be a reset mentally, and I get that. Now, Dan, are we forcing these guys to do commercials?
No.
You know, I don't remember me personally forcing Kevin Durant to appear in those American Family Insurance commercials. You know, I just saw a blurb where LeBron is in some new Intel commercial. I didn't ask him to do that. I don't care if he's in that commercial. So, yeah, I don't buy that at all. I mean, if you need a mental break, I mean, there's only five games tonight. That means, what, 10 teams are playing. You know, out of a what, a 30-team league is it now? Or is it, well, yeah, the NBA is 30 teams. You know, that means 20 teams are off. I'm sure some of them are traveling. So, you know, while you can rest, it may be, you know, a little rough on the plane. Okay, I get that. But, you know, the Bulls have been off since, I think, Saturday. They couldn't get rest in between now and tonight's game. You know, it becomes more and more clear to me that these guys are just totally unrelatable to what goes on in the real world around them. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, his comments are unbelievably stupid. Oh, well, we needed a mental break sometimes. Well, you know, you don't think the guy out there, you know, banging away on the, you know, his in on the dirt with his shovel needs a mental break sometimes. You know, I mean, and he's out there 5 days a week. He's not being flown to work or catered to or driven around or paid tens of millions of dollars. And this is how you're going to treat this guy. So I don't know. I just kind of ended up losing quite a bit of respect for him, because to me he kind of came off as being really stupid, you know, and just totally clueless on the situation. Yeah. And now, do you know, Dan? Speaking of tonight's game, is LeBron playing? You know, because I've heard about all these alleged dinged-up injuries and stuff he has, but I haven't seen any type of announcement, so I'm guessing he's in the lineup?
I'm guessing. I was on the NBA's website. Their app, and it really didn't say. Just kind of gave a preview. Didn't say who's starting or going to be resting there.
Anything? It looks like just Richard Jefferson, Kyle Korver are going to be out tonight, but Iman Shumpert's going to return. So it looks like, unless there's something late here, LeBron is going to play. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see how that goes for him. But there you go. We're okay there. And you know, since we're on this NBA stuff, Dan, I don't know if you saw the Carmelo interview where he was basically talking about how he is at peace with his new role. Apparently, you know, and I know there's only about 8 or 9 games left for the Knicks, but apparently Carmelo is going to see reduced minutes so they can see what their young guys look like. You know, as kind of a pseudo Knicks fan, what the hell is going on with this team, Dan?
They're completely out of it, so you might as well.
You know, they did officially get eliminated from the playoffs last night with their loss. So it is official. They cannot make the playoffs. I mean, not that any of us thought they were going to the playoffs anyways, but you know, this, you know, Dan, I almost feel like they're a rudderless ship in the ocean here. I mean, you know, they're 28-47. They keep talking about, well, you know, we're gonna institute the triangle, but yet it seems like nobody wants to run the triangle. You know, who knows if the triangle even works anymore? You know, they've managed one win in their last 8 games. You know, does Phil Jackson have to go, or are they going to blame Jeff Hornacek and run him out of town?
I mean, they're going to blame him, but, you know, I've been saying that Phil Jackson has got to go. I think it should be.
Yeah, I just... You look at his moves and you wonder. I mean, I still think we're both shaking our head on why he gave Joakim Noah a 4-year deal for, you know, like $15 million a year or something like that.
I guess I forgot. I assumed it was a 2-year.
it was looking out of 4 years. So, you know, it's kind of like, oh, great, thanks. Why don't you just handicap our salary cap for the next, you know, however many years? I question the moves. You know, like I had probably, okay, you want to bring Derrick Rose in, that, you know, that's cool. You know, see if he's got a little something left. And to be fair, he's played pretty well for them. You know, he's not the MVP Derrick Rose, but I don't think anybody thought, you know, that was they were going to get. You know, to be fair, he's been relatively healthy. He's played in 64 games for them this year. That's more than he played in combined for the Bulls the last couple seasons there, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of looking at their roster here, Dan, and, you know, it starts off really well. You got Carmelo and Porzingis. Derrick Rose, who is a free agent, they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with him. But, you know, then as it works down, there's Courtney Lee, Willie Herman Gomez, who's a center, Justin Holiday, Kyle O'Quinn, Lance Thomas, and I'm going to try to spit this name out here, Dan. It's Mindaugas Kuzmiskaw. Does that sound like they've built a championship or semi-championship roster? Have they even built a playoff contender?
No.
I guess I just don't understand it. I mean, I get it. It's tough to, you know, to fix these teams, but I just, you know, Carmelo is still their best player, right? I mean, and they seem to be treating him like he's a turd. I don't understand it.
Pretty much. I mean, but I mean, he's got to see the painting on the wall that just gets over.
You know, I mean, is he just being treated this way because Phil Jackson is so intent on trading him that the only way he's going to get him to agree to go out of town is if he treats him like garbage?
Pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I know, like I said, you're kind of a pseudo Knicks fan, but do you find it harder and harder to root for this team as these shenanigans or whatever you want to call them go on?
Oh, I mean, it'd be completely hard to root for them or think about them. Why turn the TV on if they're even on? I don't know if they have many nationally televised games left, but I'm not watching.
Yeah, you know, being that they're Knicks, you know, they still pop up from time to time on national television. And, you know, I mean, I think there are still people out there who want to watch Carmelo. Obviously not in a reduced minutes role or, you know, like I believe the quote he used today was, he sees the writing on the wall. I don't really know what that means or, you know, how that affects it because he still is in control. He has the no trade clause. So... we'll have to see what I want to know. What is their out here is what I'm get a quick look here. You know, now, you know, do you think, you know, maybe they'll get lucky and get the number one pick and then they can take that, I don't even know. I know his last name is Ball. I don't know the kid's first name, and then they can deal with his father.
LeVon or LeVar.
Yeah. All right, Dan, here you go. The Knicks have 7 games left. They are at Miami. Then they have Boston, Chicago, and Washington at home. They go to Memphis before they close the season out with Toronto and Philadelphia at home. Do they win another game? So, you know, because oddly they have all playoff games except the Bulls, who are right there on the border, and then the 76ers to end the season.
I mean, in the playoff games, they have nothing to gain or lose. So.
Yeah, well, Miami might. You know, they play Miami tomorrow night. Miami may, you know, they may need the win to hold off Chicago. But, yeah, the other playoff games probably won't be playing for much. Everything will be decided by then. And here you go, Dan. I know you were interested. Sunday, April 2nd, Dan, they are the noon game on ABC, so you can watch them before the Cubs game.
I don't know. There's going to be a full day of baseball, so I don't think there's any reason to watch anything but MLB.
You know, I'll make sure I remember to tweet you and remind you that, you know, there is, you know, the game, the Knicks are on, and you should get over there and definitely check it out. You know, I would hate for you to miss the opportunity to see part of the Knicks as it's going on there. So, all right, well, you know, like we said, you mentioned there's a, you know, a full day of baseball coming up. And I did see while we were on New York's teams, I saw that Steven Matz is going on the DL for the Mets, and they're going to have him not throw for 3 weeks. But believe it or not, Dan, Zach Wheeler is going to get a spot in the Mets rotation. I didn't realize he hasn't pitched in the major since 2014. So we're talking about a guy who's been out 3 full years with, I believe, 2 Tommy John surgeries. But as you can guess, Dan, he's on an innings limit. You know, we heard so much about, you know, this Mets rotation. You know, it was Harvey and Syndergaard and DeGard, you know, Harvey, Syndergaard, DeGrom, Wheeler, Matz. This was going to be it for them. You know, they were going to dominate with pitching and all this stuff. And, you know, let's face it, Dan, with the exception of maybe Syndergaard, they've kind of been a bust. DeGrom has been good, not great. Harvey looks to have already flamed out, and Mox and Wheeler can't stay healthy. What, explain this, Dan. Please, explain it to me.
It's New York.
So, You know, it's just, you know what I mean? It sounds like a fantastic idea. I mean, you get all these pitchers that, you know, the scouts love and the experts love, and we're just going to, you know, we're going to go out there, we're going to destroy everybody, we're going to dominate with our pitching. And, you know, I'm still baffled, Dan, watching these guys that they're just so injured all the time. And obviously that's not just the Mets guys. It's, you know, almost every pitcher. You know, why hasn't some physical therapist or sports psychologist or something or other figured out what's going on and we haven't corrected this problem yet?
Well, I think they need more rest like the NBA.
Well, we may get that, you know, because teams want to go to six-man rotations. So we may see that soon. So, you know, I've always kind of leaned on, Dan, you know, my theory is it's the fact now that if you're a baseball player, no matter what age you are, you're a baseball player 12 months of the year. You know, there's no break to be on the basketball team or the football team or wrestle or even run, you know, track or golf or gymnastics or whatever other sports your school has. You know, you're a baseball player, and I just don't think it's good for kids to pitch that much, is it? Especially with the crap they're learning. You know, why does a 10-year-old need a curveball, Dan?
To fool the other kids.
Yeah. you know what I mean? I understand, you know, like when we were that age playing catch with our friends, you know, we screwed around and, oh, yeah, watch me throw this curveball and stuff. But, you know, in a game, you know, at that age, you're lucky to throw strikes, you know, let alone have, you know, a curveball or anything. It's like, just give me the damn ball. Let me grip it a different way and see what happens to it. And I don't know. I just, you know, Dan, and I'm waiting to see, you know, when your daughter's a star softball player, how you handle these things. But, you know, it really seems like a lot of this kind of bodes to the parents where, you know, my kid is this star and I'm going to push him this way and this is all he's going to do. You know, is it just parents looking to cash in off their kids that's killing pitching?
Slightly, but I mean, I feel like nobody wants to be a pitcher, though. Well, not that they don't want to be, but, you know, it's the hitting that's the sexy thing, where it seems like the quality pitchers
yeah.
are kind of the older kids. You know, the Cubs didn't
win. You know, doesn't a lot of that, no doubt, now, Dan, though, seem every time we get a young, hot pitcher, he gets hurt and we don't see him? I mean, look at Steven Strasburg.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much every single
one. Yeah, you know, I mean, just all the Mets guys I've named, I believe all of them may have already had Tommy John surgery. Wheeler had two just to make up for it. So, you know, it's just kind of one of those things. But all right, Dan, I found, I guess it's, they describe it as, it's 8 burning baseball questions that I want to get your answer on, because the first one is very specific to you, and I'm sad that Schomburg Stu isn't here to answer this. But the very first, and these are burning baseball questions. All right, you ready for number one?
Yep.
All right, let me see. Give me one
two.
Second here. I'm looking. There we go. There we go. Oh, okay. Did the Cubs prove tanking works, Dan?
No.
So, I'm looking for their answer here to see how they kind of describe it. But they don't really give a reason. But yeah, I saw that and I thought, oh, I gotta ask Dan this. So you don't think the degeneration of the roster proved that, you know, you could suck and then win?
No, I mean, a lot of it was positioning and luck. I don't think it had anything to do with the fact that they were able to tank. I mean, you put any other GM with the same plan, I don't think it works because of the.
So yeah, you know, to.
Because you think about it, this is what year are we in? About almost, you know, almost 15th year in Major League Baseball, and with all his, you know, so-called connections with the Red Sox, you know, I don't think it would have worked.
Yeah, and you know, to be fair, we haven't seen the Houston Astros in the World Series yet. They have made the playoffs, and they started before the Cubs. You know, the teams like, you know, the Brewers, Braves, and Phillies, you know, the Reds, those will be a good test to see how this goes. But, yeah, I like that very much as the first question. So, all right, we go to number two, Dan. Will the shift keep getting more popular? Obviously, he's talking about shifting on batters.
That's like the dumbest question you can ask. The shift is for when you need to shift. You know, it's the difference between now, maybe the last couple seasons, is everything's televised, where 20, 30 years ago, you didn't get everything televised the way it is now. So, I mean, they did it back in the day, but, you know, I think it was more televised or more talked about this year simply because of David Ortiz and Anthony Rizzo.
All right, here you go. Question number three, Dan. Are the kids all right? And what they're implying here, Dan, is that baseball is seeing a youth movement being taken over by younger players, and they specify Chris Bryant, Carlos Correa, and Francisco Lindor as three examples.
What do you mean? Like, are they all right? Yeah, they're playing well.
Are they basically, are they taking over the game? Are we going to see the game get younger? You know, like Bryant's only, I think, 25. And I believe Correa is younger than that. Lindor may be the same age. They're kind of implying that we're going to see an influx of 20-year-old players.
Well,
so here's the bottom line here, Dan. It says, are baseball fans witnessing a major shift in the game's talent?
As opposed to?
You know, just the new guy, you know, and it's weird because this kind of happens all the time in baseball, just in different ways, but you know, the young guys coming in to take over is what they seem to be implying here. I don't like the fact that they use war to associate what they're trying to say, but I kind of get what they mean. They're looking at basically almost the elimination of every player over the age of 30. Well, it seems like they're talking more position players, but it looks like they're just talking about the younger guys taking over the game.
Well, I mean, that's all going to have to do with contracts. I mean, think about it. Chris Bryant's only getting paid $1 million this year.
Yes. So that's okay. He'll make up for that when he becomes a free agent. They've got to pay him $40 million a year. So,
yeah, exactly.
All right, Dan,
then,
this one's a little...
But then what will he be? He'll be an old guy with a lot of money, just like... all, you know, Teixeira, A-Rod, and the list goes on and on. So, I mean, that's again, you know, you got to get paid to write an article.
This one's a little better question. Is the bullpen takeover here to stay?
Yeah, for now.
Especially with starting defense. This one I hate, but I'm glad we get to get your opinion on it. Can we finally measure defense?
We've been measuring it. We don't need... see, that's the problem. How do you measure defense? You measure it, that's the manager's problem, not the fan.
They're talking about all the new sabermetric defensive metrics that we have now that they want to know if we can actually measure defense that way. And I know the answer is no, but I wanted to be fair and get your opinion.
No, I mean, it's on a day-to-day basis, game-to-game basis. You know, everyone talks about, okay, Dexter Fowler uses defensive metrics. Ooh, yay! Well, we kind of ignore the fact that, despite what everyone says, the speed that he has isn't as great as it is. And if he didn't have a guy like Jason Hayward playing in right field, his defensive metrics would look a lot different. I sat in center field, and I watched this guy just kind of jog. And if you don't attempt to go for a ball, does that not count?
Yeah, well, you know, I believe, I don't remember which stat it was, but one of the defensive metrics had Andrew McCutchen as the worst defensive center fielder in baseball last year. I wouldn't buy that for a dollar. I don't remember whose quote that used to be, but I don't believe he was that bad. You know, defense has a lot to do. You know, they have a positioning coach whose job is it to position players. You know, if that guy's wrong, you look like a tool. So I don't buy that one at all. So I hate that one greatly. Here you go, Dan. We were just talking about this with the Mets pitchers. Is the Tommy John era over?
No.
He means the surgery. Yeah, so. So, yeah, I don't buy that either. All right, here we go. Will rule changes really speed up the game, Dan?
No.
All right. Will the offensive renaissance continue?
It was always there.
So, yeah, well, remember for a while before the steroid era, it was pitching, and they were worried about, you know, pitchers really dominated. So it's been an offensive game for a while. And, hey, look, he's got another one I hate. All right, Dan. Is pitch framing still worth anything?
It's never been.
Yeah, it's actually been proven by, you know, pitch tracks and stuff that it's not worth anything. But there are people who still jump up and down and praise it. So.
No, and David Ross, right, I didn't even kind of killed it, too. He basically essentially said that your, quote, pitch framing has more to do with your relationship with the umpire than it does the position of your glove.
So, all right. You know, this is kind of interesting. I never really looked at it this way. But they ask, is MLB's era of parody over? I didn't realize but, you know, think about it. There was quite a bit of parody going around, but are we going to be back to, you know, it seems like we're headed that way, doesn't it, Dan? I mean, the Dodgers look like, you know, they're going to pay to dominate. You got to wonder if the Red Sox obviously have paid to dominate. So are we going to see parody kind of go away if these teams decide they're going to spend money and just load up?
Well, that goes along with is the youth taking over. Because like I said, right now Chris Bryant's getting paid $1 million. What's Javi Baez getting paid? I mean, the only guys who are really getting paid a lot of money on the Cubs, Lester, Mackey, Hayward, and Zobrist.
Yes, that's odd, isn't it? Those names come up when you think of the team. So. It's kind of like, yeah, okay, here we go.
Rizzo, I'm sure, has got a good contract. I haven't looked at it, but, you know, Schwarber,
actually,
Baez,
I don't know if
Russell.
He's got that one yet. So.
I mean, a decent one, but, you know, but like the guys everyone's talking about, Schwarber, Baez, Russell, Bryant, they're not getting paid, you know, the multi-millions.
No, well, you know, to be fair, I mean, neither are the guys like Trout or Harper either. You know, they're all – you know, they're all still in kind of that pre-free agency phase. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, once these guys hit free agency, you know, are they going to be, you know, I mean, what's it going to cost the team to sign a, you know, a Harper, you know, a Harper or a Trout or, you know, even a Bryan who's a few years behind them or, you know, these kind of guys. I mean, what are we looking at, Dan? Are we going to be talking, you know, these guys are getting $50 million a year?
Pretty much. It's because, you know, baseball wouldn't be what it is without, what's that agent's name? You know, the one that nobody likes.
Drew Rosenhaus? No. I know who you're talking about. I'm drawing a blank on the name. So,
you know, because obviously he hasn't been in the media as much over the last couple of years than he was before.
Scott Boras. Yeah.
But, you know, it's like we talked about before. It's, the pace of play comes down to not attracting a younger fan, but how can you attract the younger fan when a family of four, it's like going on a mini vacation just to go to the ballpark?
Yeah, you know, there's going to be some interesting hurdles for baseball to, I don't know if overcome will be the right word for it, but yeah, you know, there's going to be.
Well, then, you know, the other thing with, even with Little League, I mean, the lady I work with was complaining today because her son's team, high school, she couldn't make the game, you know, she's at work, obviously, is playing today. I mean, granted, the school sport, school ends, but, you know, they do football practice in the summer. I don't know. I mean, you think of baseball, you think of the summer sport, and here we're playing in April when we've notoriously had bad weather. Well, we're not even in April yet. You know, we're still in March. And we've notoriously had bad weather from March to April. So I don't, you know, maybe that's one of the things. Parents don't want to be out there. Maybe they handle it for football because, well, let's be honest, you don't have to sit for practice. There's only one football game a week. So sit through 2 hours of cold weather once a week isn't so bad. But when you've got, say, three games a week and you've got this crap weather going on where you never know if it's going to rain, snow, whatever. You know, you don't want to be out there. And it's not like everyone's Chris Bryant and Bryce Harper growing up in Vegas.
Again, obviously in different areas, you know, you don't have the same challenges, but, you know, they start the season early and this is the fun kind of weather you get. You know, I played plenty of games in this kind of weather, so I know what they're going, you know, what everybody's going through. It's one advantage to being a catcher, by the way. So, you know, while it may suck in the summer when you're sweating to death and it's 100 degrees out, it's a big payoff when it's, you know, 40 out and you guys are playing a game. So, you know, just one of those interesting side bits to it, you know. So, and I did see, Dan, you know, we always mention we got our drafts coming up. The Expos did decide on their closer to start the year, and it is Blake Tryon. So make sure you note that, you know, your draft or they used to be the Expos. Now they're the Nationals. So there you go. That helps me out a little bit. I wanted to keep them in Montreal so badly, Dan, that I just continue to do it. So, but yeah, they went with good old Blake Tryon. He's going to start the job as their closer. So we'll see how it goes. So yeah, you'll have to, make those little notes. And I know, you know, you were looking for, you know, what was it, Byung-Young Park late in the draft, but I believe the Twins sent him down today. So you're gonna have to go another route with that one. Okay. Sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze on you there for a minute. I was like, damn it. But yeah, now have you planned out your Sunday yet and how you're going to manage to get all three of these games in?
Oh man, that was me being loud. You know, I'll work it out. Get the grocery shopping done early in the morning. Just have the games on throughout the day.
So, yeah, you know, that's the thing is, you know, making sure you get everything taken care of early to get, you know, everything done. That's my plan. It's like I got to make sure I got, you know, everything set and everything done and I'm good to go so I won't have to deal with, too much of – too much of anything else, at least I hope. So, you know, we'll have to see. But yeah, you know, hopefully we will. Well, I know we'll have some predictions for the Saturday blog, so you can look forward to that. I don't quite have everything I need yet, but that's a story for another podcast. Maybe we can talk about that Sunday as I wait for the picks from our certain friend there. But yeah, that should be interesting. And you know, are you getting excited for our draft since it's just one day, you know, the first one is just one day away now?
Yeah, you know, like we were discussing a little bit earlier before this podcast started, you know, it's been a quiet week with two guys out of work. I've been kind of a little less busy, and I squeezed in two mock drafts today.
So, well, that's good. You know, you're ready. You're ready to roll. You'll be all set, and hopefully, now have you been doing both styles, or have you been doing one over the other?
I did an auction, but today both of them were standard.
Oh, okay. And now have you picked up on anything that you know, with obviously without giving too much away?
Yeah, all the guys you're going to want, you're not going to get. No.
Yeah.
The first draft I did, I was a little bit more in. Well, I guess I was not so much in the middle. I mean, it's going to be so different because we're going to be in a 20 team where the ones I did were like 12 and 14. I noticed when I picked like, no, maybe it wasn't that late. I was able to land Kershaw on the first one and I got an A, but you know, I was also able to land Gerardy Sanchez and a few other names. So, you know, I think it all just depends on where you land. I'm going to try to see if I can get a bigger one later on tonight and pick in the middle, see how that goes, where, you know, the second one I did, I got like a C, but I was also the second pick, and I went with Chris Bryant on that one.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's not a bad pick at all, you know, nothing wrong with ending up with Chris Bryant. You know, unless, of course, you're Mr. Fantasy, then you don't want anything to do with him. I really hope he ends up in a position where he's got to look at him. So, you know, that would really make my week, I guess, so to speak, if he has to deal with that. Because, you know, that was our discussion was I couldn't convince him that Bryant was a good number two pick in our money league. And I mean, I didn't have anything against going with Clayton Kershaw. That was no big deal for me. But you know, I liked Bryant. I thought he was, You know, I thought he was going to be a good, you know, definitely a good guy, and obviously he will be. So, you know, it's
yeah,
just
I'll have to send
one
you
of, one of those.
The emails that I got for my draft results because, yeah, just to kind of get an idea what you're looking at and how I landed Clayton Kershaw, even though I wasn't picking in the top three or I think someone reached, but you know, it's fantasy, so, or it's mock, so you're not sticking with these guys.
Yeah, you know, it's fun to do. You know, it really, as surprisingly, it does help. You know, I know there are, you know, it's a little difficult because they don't do the league size we do, but you know, we're the only people I know who do 20 team leagues. I don't know anyone else who plays in a bigger league. So it's difficult, you know, and especially when, you know, you get deep. I mean, like you mentioned, you're just hoping you don't pick a guy who's injured. You know, I'm just hoping I don't pick a guy that's going to end up getting sent down, which I seem to have the knack to do. If I take a guy late, he seems to last like 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden he's back at Triple A, you know, and I'm off searching for frickin' bench players. So,
yeah,
I think, you know, just those things.
The bigger challenge I noticed was it's going to be, oddly, when it comes to relief pitching.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to have a little bit of trouble. Because you might, you know, we might focus on your starters and your position players. And then when you try to go land the closer, you're going to be like, whoa, there's none left. And you're like, but it's only the sixth round. How is there, you know, seventh round? You're like, how is there not a closer? You
know, yeah. And, in our league, you know, we're one of the few leagues that actually do holds.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you have to think of your full bullpen.
When I went to, I put Tony Watson in my queue, I stepped away and he was gone. A lot sooner than I anticipated.
Yeah, it always seems to be, you know, obviously in the Snake League, you know, somebody takes a closer, you know, that first one goes off the board and then it's almost like everybody panics and it's like, oh, I got to get a closer. I got to go find this guy. I need this guy now. Where's my guy? And it's like, really, there's enough of them. So, but it always happens. Oh, all right. The music means it's time for Dan and I to take off, but we're coming back at 5:30 tomorrow before our draft, so don't be surprised if you get a lot of fantasy draft talk. Sorry about that. You know the deal while we're gone, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out everything going on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page, and please give that a like. Jump on that Twitter feed at sportstimeradio. Check out what's going on over there. As always, a big thanks for listening live, and don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.